happy childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend. But I'm sure as crazy kids, so I'd get out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Tag yourself.
In this movie?
Are you an officer or a gentleman?
Oh, good question.
You can only be one. You can
gentleman.
Only
I don't
one.
Think I have the kind of. I don't think I have the fortitude to be an officer.
I'm an officer.
I don't have the resilience. Seeing okay. what these guys went through. Whew, no, thank you.
So that's us. That I'm an officer and you're the gentleman. And isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
Because I was wondering who is who in the movie. They never say.
You know what I would like to do right now?
What?
Conduct unbefitting either of us.
Okay.
By talking about this show. This
By talking
movie.
About this movie, yeah. They don't say in the movie who's... They, well, he's an... It's a spoiler. He does become an officer.
What'd
so
you say?
Someone else is...
You said that to me?
Who? Yes. What?
What did you call me?
What do you mean, what did I call you?
Just now.
I didn't call you anything.
That's what I thought.
Okay.
When you address me as sir. You say sir, yes, sir.
Oh, I say sir, yes, sir. No,
to
I don't
me,
have
yeah.
to.
Yeah, you do.
Why?
Where are you from? Where do you live?
I'm from Arizona.
No, where do you live? Where do
I
you live?
In
where
are Austin, you... Texas. And are you going to say it?
Only two things I know that come from
okay,
Austin, Texas.
And you're just going to say that. You can't say it in 2022. It's like super fucked up. What are the
Steers?
Two things? Yeah. And what? Deers.
Beto O'Rourke.
Beers. Good beers.
And I don't see any centrist, neoliberal policies coming out of you.
Okay, so I'm a steer.
I guess you're a steer. That's
yeah.
I don't think Beto O'Rourke's actually from Austin. I think he's from, like, Iowa.
You want to know an interesting fact about that line? It's a fucked up line. We'll say it's a homophobic line, but it's famous. And it's famous from Full Metal Jacket, isn't it?
Yeah, it is famous from Full Metal Jacket, which came out before this.
So I've got a bumbled piece of, like, I'm going to say a bungled piece of trivia because I definitely got this wrong, but it's something like this. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
The guy who's in Full Metal Jacket who says that, there are only two kind of things from Texas, Steers and Congressman
Naughty
Beto
word.
O'Rourke. The guy who famously says that in Full Metal Jacket was originally going to play the part that is played by Louis Gossett Jr. in this film.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Instead,
and he just sort of, that was his catchphrase.
Brought in to like coach Louis Gossett Jr. on
Yeah, his and then
role.
Lou Gossett Jr. won a fucking Academy Award for his
and
brilliant
then
performance.
They just
so it worked.
That line. Yeah.
Yeah.
famous line. They never say who the gentleman is. I guess we are never going to find out. You didn't seem that interested in following up. We should say.
I think it's clear who the gentleman was, and I think he unfortunately passed.
Oh, right.
In the, during the events of the film, Jack.
Oh, man. Let's say what happened.
And maybe you've already repressed that.
Did you know? Have you seen this before? Did you know what was going to happen?
No, absolutely not. I saw like a Simpsons parody of it like 30 years ago.
So, folks, we should say this week we're watching a film. It's called An Officer and a Gentleman. It's a classic movie. If you haven't seen it.
1982, Richard Gere, hunky as hell.
If you haven't seen it, you will, even if you don't know what it is, you will have by osmosis taken into your brain this final scene of this film by cultural osmosis, where Richard Gere goes to
Deborah Winger's
factory and in his dress whites and picks her up and carries her out of the factory and everyone knows it
and
it's
fucking
famous.
Love Lifts Us Up Where We Belong is like wailing on an electric guitar over it. It's so good.
But Tanner had never seen this film before, nor had I.
No, and I just thought I've heard it's that scene is a romantic scene, and I was like, well, if that's the end of the movie, must be one hell of a romantic movie.
So I watched it last night, and Tanner watched it this morning, and texted me. I assumed you were making a funny joke.
No, I wasn't,
because you texted me out of the blue. You were like, "Hey, have you watched Officer and a Gentleman yet? This dude Worley is the best."
he was so funny and so nice and like so charming. Just really liked him.
Yeah, he's really nice. Famously, and I didn't know it came as a shock to me, he does take his life at
he
the
does
end of the
end
film.
His life,
and it's really, really
incredibly
sad. It's absolutely
brutally
fucking
sad.
Crushing.
Yeah.
So I assumed you were joking. I just wrote back, I wrote back, yeah, really lovely guy. I just didn't, I didn't know what to say. And then just before we
just,
sat
when
down.
When I read it, I just sort of went like, he agrees.
Okay, yeah. Just yeah. before we sat down to record.
Glad
said,
I had a good read on this guy.
About Worley.
Yeah, you could have warned me about Worley.
Yeah, I don't know. What would you have, like, what would you have said if I'd been like, he meets a terrible end? Because it doesn't seem like it. It seems like it's just like a fun, it's not, it's quite a serious vibe, the film.
The whole movie is pretty serious. It's like literally the movie starts, it's like smash cut.
Yeah.
Like three people naked in bed together.
Yeah, it's
and
very
like a, and Richard Gere like looming over them.
Yeah, it's, oh yeah. So the film begins. Should we say that it's a No Whammies episode? Do we need to say that? To
yeah,
people?
maybe you've heard it. Maybe you're about to hear it on our Patreon show. Yeah. Oh God, it's Friday. If you're not a subscriber, please do subscribe. Patreon.com/BSCC podcast. Yeah. Don't ask. We had to jam this in. We didn't have to. We didn't have
to jam
this
in.
We've made the choice to jam in both an OGIF episode and a Strange Bedfellows episode.
Yeah. So these they're sequels.
In one
you won't even...
tight afternoon.
Yeah. In one tight afternoon, Tanner had exactly 90 minutes, and he was like, let's just do both of these episodes in this 90 minutes. And so what? I'm fine with it, but it means we can't make any mistakes. Everything right. we say has to stay in.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, smash yeah. cut, the film starts.
Smash
By
cut,
the way, this movie is really good. I don't know if
it's
Jack
great.
Agrees. It was
no,
really
it's awesome.
Good.
It's a really good movie, but it's not what I was expecting. I thought it
it's
was going to be
It's also not
like
what I was expecting.
A
I thought
sappy
it was gonna
romance.
Be like yeah, like a bad boy army brat, like having
yeah.
a
I thought it was gonna
yeah,
be like
sappy
Top
romance.
Gun. Yeah. It's not like Top
Yes,
Gun.
Exactly. I thought it was gonna be Top Gun. No, it was an incredibly tragic film.
Yeah, it's really dark. And like one of the things I learned this actually from I guess a little bit from reading about the film afterwards, but also just from all of the wrong ass Rotten Tomatoes reviews that I read of it.
Yeah.
The famous scene, he goes and he picks her up. And I wish somebody would pick me up at work. You know?
Did you call your wife?
Yeah. I wish somebody would come and pick me up at work. And yeah, I mean literally. I don't know. I'm workshopping. I didn't. I just. I don't know.
I don't have a ride home.
But he goes and he picks her up. And all the Rotten Tomatoes reviews were like, this is so sappy. It's like sexist. He goes and like whisks her off her feet. I was reading that the screenwriter of this film famously said, like, people completely misunderstand the end of this film. They don't know who's saving who.
Wow.
And it's powerful. It is true. It's quite clear. He's incredibly troubled, and it is her grounding influence that saves
yeah, of
him.
Course.
And that's what's happening there, even though, like, he does lift her up at her office and everyone claps because they're like,
yeah,
look
wow.
at this.
Everyone,
look how fucking
his,
hot
like,
Richard Gere is
even,
in his dress.
Even once. His, even her jealous best friend who yeah. caused the death of the best character in the movie
yeah.
got over it very quickly and started yelling like,
she's
you
like,
go,
you go
get it.
Yeah,
yeah,
go get it. He's so good looking in his dress.
Yeah, he's
wise.
Very good looking.
We skip to the end. Smash cut. It's
we
the beginning.
We skip to the end, but yeah. here's the beginning. There's three people in bed. It turns out that one of them is the father of our main character, whose name is unfortunately the centerpiece of our first segment of the evening.
Okay, yeah.
What is your... Richard Gere name in this movie?
Okay. So I think probably can we just go to a list of condiments and find a condiment that is
no,
closest
we're
going to
go to mockaroo.com.
Okay. Should we say what Richard Gere's name is?
Yeah, it's called, his name is Zach Mayo.
And Louis Gossett Jr., is it Louis or it's Louis, right?
Lou.
Is it Lou? Lou Gossett Jr., who is fucking incredible in this movie.
Yeah,
I think he won
incredible.
An Oscar and absolutely deserved it. It's an incredible role. He makes fun of him, and he calls him mayonnaise.
Hey, this is really wonderful work. Where'd you get this, Mayo?
Subic Bay, Philippines, sir.
Ah, thought I recognized the work. Be proud of them wings. They're the only ones you're gonna leave here with, mayonnaise.
At first, they introduce this guy called Zach Mayo, and you kind of roll your eyes like, great, like,
yeah.
cool name.
Yeah.
But then they make fun of it the whole movie, and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. So so we go to mockaroo.com.
Mockaroo. This one's okay. easy. And if mockaroo is more of a Patreon thing, and again, if you haven't subscribed to the Patreon, we have
Please
so
do.
Much fun over there.
Yeah, we really
Patreon.com/BSCC podcast. Yeah. We do a lot of name generators, and we use this website called mockaroo.com, and I assume that we account for 99.99999% of their traffic.
Yeah, it's a great, it's a, basically it generates fake data. Yep. And so I think it sounds like, do we need first name?
First name and then
condiment or like product?
Grocery product, yeah.
Okay, that's great.
Easy one.
This is nice and easy. So first name, yeah, first name, last name. So I'm just going to get grocery, product, grocery. So folks, you can do this at home. Leave your, we've been having fun leaving our name generators in the comments on Facebook.
Yeah.
So you can play this at home and tell us what your Richard Gere name is.
We didn't plan all this viral marketing we're doing with all
know,
of you for all of our other media
much.
Properties,
but you know, what are
now
you
that
do?
We're here.
Now that we're here.
All right, so I've got two fields. One's Zach, which is first name, and one is Mayo, which is product grocery.
Yeah, so you just do that. You create those two fields, and then you hit preview.
At the bottom, you hit preview.
So I'm doing that now.
Yep.
Okay, cool. Do you want to hear what my Zach Mayo name is?
Yep.
hello, officer. Sir.
Yeah, please address me as sir. Yes, sir.
I'm from Texas.
What's your name, private?
Alfie, sir.
Alfie? What kind of name is Alfie? Are you a British boy born in the last 10 years or so?
That's my first name, sir.
Oh, okay. What's your last name, son?
Baby P Tendrils. Sir.
Baby P Tenders?
Tendrils.
Tendrils.
People call me Sprouts. For short.
Well, Sprouts, I'm going to call you. I guess Sprouts is already pretty bad.
Sir, I accidentally generated two names. Can we do this again?
Well, Sprouts, I'm going to move to the next guy in line. What's your name, son?
Sir, my name is Hamnet, sir.
Hamnet. First name is Hamnet.
First name, Hamnet, sir.
Okay. Private Hamnet, what's your last name?
Lamb, whole head off.
Well, cadets, my name is Sergeant Belva Pepperoni Slices. And you're going to listen to every word I say for the next... whatever, 6 months.
Yeah.
And you're going to get $1 million education.
Yeah. If you survive.
If you survive.
Yeah.
And almost everyone does.
Pretty good. Should we do the dramatis personae?
Yeah, I guess we have to.
It's a hit segment. It's called dramatis personae. And I only say this because I took some time. I made a big effort to make segment music for this last time. Finally. But I don't even know. We've already said it.
It's Richard Gere.
Yeah. The pretty man from Pretty Woman.
Like a fucking hunk of granite that's been chiseled out to the side of a mountain.
He looks so good.
Yeah.
And he looks even better in his dress whites. And yes, he could pick me up at work. And I mean literally.
Deborah Winger, who has...
looks great too.
Yeah, looks incredible. And has a very funny kind of like local accent to somewhere. Like... Pennsylvania or something. Made her feel like a real townie, which she plays in this movie.
You want to hear a mildly interesting fact?
Yeah.
Deborah Winger did not get along with Richard Gere while filming this movie, referred to him as a brick wall in terms of his acting.
Yeah, it looks like a fucking brick wall. Looks like he's made out of brick.
And it may have been because he was jealous of how she stole every fucking scene that she's in, which she does. But he later was very gracious to her and said that she was wonderful. So they patched it up. That's nice. Mildly interesting and nice. And she's great in it. She's so
good. Is there any road bumps with Richard Gere? Because he's a real likable guy, it seems like.
I don't think so. I think he's probably...
I think maybe he's like put good? A gerbil up his
no,
butt. No,
that's, famously not true.
That's all I know about him.
Yeah, that's famously not true.
And that he was really great in this movie.
Yeah, the thing that you said is famously untrue.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying too.
Yeah. So no road bumps, and I can't believe you brought that up. Everyone knows that that's not true.
I couldn't even remember if it was him. Yeah, so he goes, he's like, that's his dad, by the way, that who's having sex with those two ladies.
So, yeah, smash cut. We're still at the beginning of the movie, and it's his dad is, and it's so it's a young Richard Gere. Well, it's a young boy.
Well, yeah, then they do the flashback, and it's a flashback, and it's a boy, and he's been sent to the Philippines because that's where his Navy dad lives, and his Navy dad's a real prick.
And It was at this point. I don't know if I should. No, it's no whammies. I can't do it. Yeah, his dad is a real prick. And
oh, I'm so curious.
Do you want to know? You want me to know? You want to know? It was at this point in the film that Sarah said that she thinks it's incredibly flattering. She thinks it must be incredibly flattering for a child actor to be asked to play the young version of a famously handsome person.
Oh, yeah.
And my friend PJ, who we were watching the film with, volunteered that he had auditioned to be the child version of the star of the Mothman Prophecies.
Which is Richard Gere.
Is it Richard Gere?
Isn't it?
Find out who it is. And I just thought we could call PJ and see if he could tell us that story.
Richard Gere.
Hello, sir.
Hello, PJ.
Jack.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Could you tell me just real briefly?
Go on speaker real quick. I have to say something to PJ real quick.
What?
PJ, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, it's Tanner. I live in Connecticut. It's a two-party consent state. do you consent to this phone call being recorded?
I know what's going on now.
Can you just tell us super fast about when you auditioned for the Mothman Prophecies?
Yeah.
What happened?
My family was driving to, well, we drove to Pennsylvania, I think is where they were doing the filming for it, and I think I got like two or three callbacks, and it was looking good, and I think I was told that it was down to me and one other kid to be in this role. It's the first, I guess the opening scene is a young high school couple that are like about to have sex, and then suddenly the Mothman comes out of nowhere, and so you're supposed to like look scared. And I guess there was like a chance that my like butt, my rear end, was gonna be in the movie.
Wow.
But I get really far, and then they said this was like the final stage, and it was apparently Richard Gere was gonna look or watch both of our auditions, and Richard Gere went with the other kid, and so I didn't get
out. Do you feel spurned? Do you like hate Richard Gere?
I mean, I remember for a long time, like it was hard for me to look at him and not think like he didn't choose me, and what did I do? What did I do that just kind of like was something he didn't want?
I missed the first part of your story, but you said it was a lot of butt work.
It was gonna be my butt over the screen, and I was okay with it. I
saw something you didn't like.
In high school, I was okay with it.
So was it fucked up when you got the invite to come and watch a Richard Gere movie with me? I never would have done it if I'd known that this is.
I know when you said it was like, I know he's not a gentleman. Gentleman would have said it to my face that it didn't want me.
Wow. That was the other kid pretty handsome?
You know what? I don't even I've never seen it. I won't watch it.
I guess we can know. I guess Tanner, you've met PJ and you can say as diplomatically as possible whether you think the young Mothman boy.
Yeah, I'm trying to look him up.
As you think PJ was. At what age was this?
This might have been like maybe 13, 14.
Okay. That's an awkward age to get rejected by Richard Gere as not being handsome enough to be a young version of him.
They did say that he had a lot of creative endeavors, which I didn't have.
Okay.
And don't have.
Yeah. That Tanner, this is something that you very famously traumatized,
like,
PJ about.
Turned into this like seed of self-doubt in you, PJ. I'm so sorry.
Tanner once asked PJ what he did for creativity in his spare time, and PJ couldn't think of anything and just said Cleveland sports, and it's like stuck with him forever. PJ, thank you for letting us.
He's uncredited
in the middle of your work day with a surprise being on the podcast. I'll let you go. All right, man. Bye. Good. I'm glad we checked in with PJ on that. Did you find a picture of the boy from the Mothman?
No, he's
Prophecies?
Not credited in the film. Yeah, I went to the IMDb for Mothman Prophecies, but young John Klein is not in the credits anywhere.
Well, so it goes. We should probably say what else happens, huh?
In this film or in Mothman Prophecies?
No, let's stay. I don't even know what that is.
All right. So let's see. So he's like, you know what? I don't like my dad.
Yeah.
And I don't like living with him. And they move all over the place. I think mostly they live in the Philippines, though.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm going to go to Seattle to become a Navy officer and fly jets.
Yeah.
Rad thing to say.
That is such a good thing to say. Yeah. I'm but so he's got daddy issues. His daddy is a bad man and like didn't want him after his mom died.
Yeah. And as we discover later in the film, his mom, he like discovered his mom had also died of suicide. Yeah. So he's got a
really dark, fucked up movie and it's really sad. But it's happy in the end. But so we'll just say quickly the end of the movie. It's worth watching, folks. We've said all the spoilers, I guess. Then he goes to try to become a Navy officer, and he runs into this like hard driving drill sergeant.
Yeah, he's so good.
Who's so good.
The first thing he says is, "Where have you been?" He says it at the 11 minute and 39 second mark. He says,
"Where you been all your lives? At an orgy? Listening to Mick Jagger music and bad-mouthing your country, I'll bet."
Yeah, that's my bird of the week.
On whom? It sounds fucking rad. That's 1982's idea of a bad time?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, but you're not officer material if that's what you've just come from.
I guess I'm not officer material then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I guess I am. I mean, I guess.
We've already established.
Were you reading the list?
You're the gentleman and I'm the officer.
Where have I been? An orgy? No.
No.
Listening to Mick Jagger music? No.
No.
Bad mouthing your country? Not really.
No.
Like, not actively.
Really. No. Not in like a cool way.
Yeah.
So just like grumbling.
Officer material.
Just grumbling about paying your taxes. Not like some cool, like, you know, like fucking Abby
Hoffman.
They should
put a fucking
shit.
Speed bump
exactly.
at the bottom of this hill.
Yeah. Thanks, Obama.
Racers.
So the drill sergeant, and then he and Worley, his friend
Sid Worley, what a sweetheart,
who's a sweetie pie,
real upstanding gentleman. I mean, you know, sort of a sleazeball, but
yeah, but he's super fun,
does the right thing,
and they meet some lovely babes, local babes, and the babes are like, I don't know, they're both kind of it's open that the babes in the town would all love to snag themselves an officer and get the hell out of this town.
Yeah, who wouldn't?
It's kind of like a known thing that like the babes in the town will like, I don't know, go to dances with the young
officer.
Yeah,
it's like some incredibly tiny town. It's not Seattle. It's just like some weird coastal town.
And so they meet some babes, and then one of the babes, the one who is not played by Deborah Winger, fakes a pregnancy to try to ensnare Worley. And he decides to make an honest woman out of her.
Is ensnared.
And also decides that he doesn't want to be an officer and drops out of the program. And so he's like, hey, babe, let's get married. And she's like, all right, hooray. And then he's like, also, I dropped out of the program. And she's like, oh, I was never pregnant. I don't want to marry you. And that leads him to spiral in a way that he's not in the movie anymore, really. It's just really sad.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not in the movie after Richard Gere discovers him dead. And then the movie goes on from there. And Richard Gere sort of also loses his cool.
Yeah, a lot.
And it looks like he's going to sort of fly off the handle. But then Lou Gossett Jr. just sort of like beats the snot out of him.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
And then he graduates and goes and carries Deborah Winger out of the paper factory.
And there's a very famous scene where Lou Gossett Jr. is like, get out of here. And he's like, I've got nowhere else to go.
I go to court. Yeah, then you can be free and you and your daddy can get drunk and go hall chasing again, huh?
No, sir!
D.O.R.
I ain't going to quit.
All right, then you can forget it. You're out.
Don't you do it. Don't you. I got nowhere else to go. I got nowhere else to go. I got nothing else. I got nothing else.
All right, Mayo. On your feet.
Yeah, yeah. It was really good. He was like beating him with a cane.
Yeah. So he's got this
pretty
weird.
Intense to watch.
You know what I'm realizing, Tanner? Because he's got all these like daddy issues.
Oh, he's daddy.
Lou is daddy. Right?
Yeah.
Doesn't that make sense?
He says something very funny during his like intro, like salvo of like pretty like terrible insults.
Yeah.
He does go up to one guy who's pretty soft spoken. And he says at the 13 minute, 32 second mark,
"Stop whispering, sweet pea. You give me a hard on."
That's kind
of
nice.
Yeah, that's really nice. Yeah. That's a very nice thing to whisper to somebody.
Yeah. So that's kind of the energy that he brings, that daddy brings.
Yeah, and then Richard Gere doesn't look like he has what it takes to get through the program, but he really toughs it out anyway, and then he gives a great big thank you to Lou Gossett Jr., and he's really grateful, and then he goes to her office and picks her up, literally.
Yeah, where she belongs.
Where she belongs, yeah.
Yeah, he lifts her up where she
he
belongs.
He lifts her up
where angels cry on the mountainside or something like that.
Yeah, and that's another mildly interesting fact about the movie is everyone was like, when they read the screenplay, they were like, this is too cheesy, it's not going to work. And the script writer was like, you fucking have to leave this part in. Trust me, you have to do it.
It's going
to
fucking squash Tanner. Tanner's going to be like sobbing in his living room in the middle of the afternoon.
And then when they saw it and they saw it paired with that song, they were all like, Richard Gere apparently got chills. And he was like, okay, I was wrong. That is fucking
They must have saved a ton of money on music in this movie. Because they just play the one "Love Lifts Us Up Where We Belong" song over
so
and
many
over
times
and over
with
again.
Like an instrumental version. it rules, and I cried, and I admit it was very
one
emotional.
Of the times I cried.
Yeah, I cried a lot in the movie. It's very
well.
Emotional.
So the thing is, he's also very good at. He's kind of a shit, and he keeps trying to quit being an officer.
Yeah,
but he's really good at being an officer.
Yeah. Yeah,
and he's almost about to beat the like world record for the obstacle course that all these cadets have to go through.
Yeah,
and he's like surging, and then this one other cadet, this small woman who's having trouble with the wall.
Yeah,
and has been having trouble with the wall all class.
Yeah,
is having trouble with the wall.
Yeah,
and he stops and goes back and gets her and like coaches her, like doesn't help her over, like coaches her over it. I like got up and left the room.
It's really beautiful.
Like completely overwhelmed. I just had to like get up and leave.
What a good movie. Also, not like the movie I was expecting. It's fairly dark, and there are some very genuinely sad moments that are going to afflict me for the rest of my life. Do you want to take a quick break?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay. Everybody, it's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which, to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Jack.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I come to you with, like, no pleasure.
Okay.
This is not something I like to do.
Okay.
This is not a passion of mine. This is not something I even want to do, but it's something I'm obligated to do.
Are you going to come into my office and pick me up and carry me out?
No. No, okay. No, no. Nothing like that.
Good. I wouldn't want that.
No, I'm going to talk about Sid Worley's penis.
Okay.
And I'm going to just sort of like coldly assess it.
Okay.
And grade it.
Okay. Yeah. It's a segment we have called Girth Check, which is.
Girth Check. And we're just Bingus Butchers.
One of
you know?
Yeah. It's one of the sadder. I never thought this would be a sad segment for our show, but it's a little bit. Dispassionately analyze the girth and length of the bing bongs of the boys.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's sort of a known thing around here. And actually, you already said you're burned, so I'll say mine quickly too at the 16-minute, 34-second mark. There's a kind of a famous thing where the local girls, the towny girls, like hang out around the Naval Academy to try to meet men and then get married off and, you know, leave their podunk town.
Yeah.
Everyone knows it happens. At the 16-minute, 34-second mark, the Lou Gossett Jr. is shaving everyone's heads, and one guy comes out. The first guy comes out, and everyone's like, oh, God, I'm going to look like an idiot like that guy.
Next!
Oh, shit.
And Lou Gossett Jr. says,
wait till some of the local girls get a look at you, scrotum head.
Just knocked out of the park. So simple. Like elegant.
It's beautiful. Yeah. I missed that. That's a very funny thing to say to somebody.
So
what does that
tell
us?
Was my burn. So that sets up the Bingus Butchers,
the
girth check, because Sid and Richard Gere both also get their haircut.
Yeah.
And then get in trouble and have to do push-ups out in the front lawn.
Yeah.
And they see the two young women who eventually become their lovers.
Yeah.
And the young women are encouraging them, and they say,
see you in a month when you get liberty.
Don't worry, it grows out about an inch by then.
Okay.
And then at the 32-minute, 36-second mark, they meet up with the women again.
Yeah.
At the bar during shore leave.
Yeah.
And Worley says to Richard Gere,
it's grown out more than an inch, pal.
Okay, so all we know is more than an inch. That could be...
It's not my job to know any more than that.
No, and we're not detectives. We've said this before.
No, my
we're
job...
We're not detectives. We're butchers. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what we know, and that we're not going to even look any further. It's more than an inch. I guess
more
I'll say,
inch.
I think I'm allowed to speculate that if someone were to ask you about your girth, and you were to respond more than an inch, I would assume, maybe incorrectly, that it was not a lot more than an inch.
I don't know.
But we don't know.
I think that's unfair of you to assume.
Yeah. No, you're right. And I shouldn't. And I shouldn't have. Yeah. Okay. Well, there we go. And that's it. Now we're done. We're closing up shop.
Yeah.
The shop's closed. Get out of here.
Switching the sign over from...
No more dick
yes,
meat
we're open
for you guys.
Sorry, we're closed.
It's closed. <Yeah. laughs> You came too late.
Yeah. We got places to be.
Yeah. And actually, speaking of places to be, Tanner, I would like for you to take a quick trip to Megalopolis, the crime city of the future.
No, please, Jack. where do I find myself? Hello,
Arbiter
it's
Tanner.
Me, Mr. Kiss. I've hijacked the segment.
Oh, no. What has happened? I was not expecting that.
A time bubble opened up, and I jumped through.
Okay. Mr. Kiss.
And here I am. And I've brought my... trusty sidekick.
That's right. I'm here as well. It's Monsieur French.
Monsieur French. Franchet.
We were
Francois?
Just on the planet.
It's just French.
On the rings of Saturn. Very
yes,
beautiful. Thank you for taking
the way
me.
That Saturnians kiss.
so much better than my shitty apartment where I used to live with my wife, but I'm divorced and it's my fault. I was a bad husband.
I want to preface this segment by saying that I, Mr. Kiss,
yeah, and I,
my purview,
friend.
Yeah, and I, my whole thing is I'm like Doctor Who, but what my thing is I go and study all the kisses.
Yeah.
And my purview starts and ends at kissing.
Yeah.
And anything that happens before kissing,
yeah,
none of my business.
No.
Anything
interest.
That happens after kissing, certainly none of my business.
Absolutely no interest.
And by none of my business, I mean I do not know what happens.
Yeah.
All I know about is kissing.
Yeah.
At the 1 hour, 26 minute and 15 second mark,
mm-hmm.
Worley is having relations.
Yeah.
With his girlfriend, whose name I forgot.
Yeah.
And they've just, I think, just finished it.
We're not
whatever
interested
it is.
In that. We don't care.
Don't even know what it is.
No.
Whatever finished whatever happens after
yeah.
kissing.
Right.
And we're doing kissing again, which is yeah. where my interest peaks.
That's
again.
Where you started to become interested again. Yeah.
And Worley picks up a little bottle of something and
mm-hmm.
says,
I just had to have one more taste. Does that stuff come in anything besides strawberry?
Okay.
And I don't know what it is. It's some kind of like, I've seen every kind of kiss.
Okay.
I've been across this universe.
Yeah.
I've been across all of time and space.
Yeah. You've
and
seen,
he's got some kind of kiss sweetener.
What is it that Rutger Hauer sees? Sunset on the Moons of
oh,
Jupiter?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then he's
seen it.
Time to die, weirdly.
Yeah, that's how we all die.
Yeah.
That I'm a replicant.
Yeah. Good lore. Okay, and so what is
it's
it?
It's like some kind of kiss sweetener.
It's a kiss sweetener.
Must be. I don't know what happens after, again.
Yeah, no, we don't know.
Before or after kissing.
Yeah, we can't know.
But they have something that they use in the act of kissing.
That sweetens the kisses.
Makes it taste like strawberries.
That sounds nice.
Yeah.
So yes, I think, is the answer. We should
yeah.
be doing
it. It might be used somewhere else in the act of whatever comes before or after kissing, but I'm not sure.
Oh, do you think?
I don't know.
We can't
I wouldn't
tell.
Know.
Yeah. As far as we know, and I'm just coming along for the ride here because I know less about kissing even than you.
Yeah.
I mean, which is a lot. It's some kind of a kiss sweetener.
Must be. How do you open the bubble?
Well, I want to analyze another one.
Oh, another kiss?
Yeah. He goes and he picks her up at work, and I mean literally.
Yeah.
And then he does a big kiss, and everyone cheers. That's just great.
What if he just picks her up at work like that every day? Parks his car, comes in and grabs her.
I think people would... There would be,
they'd probably
be
clap
polarizing.
For like 3 days.
It would be polarizing. Some people would think it's sweet. I think it's sweet that he picks her up at work every day and gives her a big
yeah.
kiss in front of the whole factory floor. And some people would be like, I think it's distracting. The first time, I was super into it. But
yeah.
I didn't realize this was going to be an everyday thing, and I'm fully over it.
I can't
it's
wait
really
until they move to Pensacola.
Incredibly disruptive. Okay, well, you can go, Mr. Kiss. I think I will also go. Can I please take me with you? Arbiter Tanner.
Where am I?
So, were you
I was on
the
rings
of Saturn.
Saturn.
Okay, yeah, I see what happened.
I've never seen anything so beautiful. I have to go back.
There was a mishap. There is a mishap, but you're here now, and we'd like to have... It's a segment we have. It's called On the One Hand.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's where we bring in Arbiter Tanner to judge Rotten Tomatoes reviews. I have assembled a number of reviews ranging from very positive to very negative, with a few in between, from just the regular Rotten Tomatoes reviewers. We're not interested
okay.
in critics. We're interested in... regular folks like you and me.
The vox populi.
Yes, exactly. So I will begin.
That's what I call the thought police in the future.
And you know what? I wish it were possible for you to meet Mr. Kiss, because your thing is that you dispense kisses when somebody's done a good job.
Oh, we've met. He's
them.
One of my most notorious nemeses.
Oh, okay. Your enemies. Okay. Yeah.
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 He hunts me through space-time.
Okay, he thinks you're too liberal with kisses. Or
he
not
just wants
enough.
To study my technique.
Yeah.
You
okay.
Know?
Okay. Yeah.
Because it literally like
yeah.
it saves people's souls.
That's such interesting lore today. Okay, well, so what we're going to do is we're going to dispense kisses to the person who gets closest to reviewing this film with perfect accuracy, and we're going to withhold kisses from everyone else. So I'm going to begin. On the one hand, Michael P. Gives this film
Michael
four...
Michael Peaton.
Michael Peaton, yeah.
From Multiplicity.
From Multiplicity.
Multiplicity. gives this film 4.5 stars on January 10th of this year. And he says the following thing. Viewing advice. See with a friend or by yourself.
Check.
I want to say two things about this. One, I think that's great advice, and thank you. Yeah. Two, what's another possible way to see this film?
With a lover.
I guess you could watch it with a nemesis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've watched it with Mr. K.
Okay, yeah. That must have been pretty contentious. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. All right. I thought that it was a paradox. I thought there was no other way to watch this film. You either see it with a friend or with yourself. But I'm realizing there are people you could see it with who wouldn't be your friends. And it sounds like maybe Michael P. would have given this film 5 stars had he not watched it with someone he dislikes intensely.
Yeah. Oh, it's a tip. Yeah, it's a...
You should watch this either alone or with a friend. It doesn't hit as good if you watch it with someone that you don't get along with.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's good. Okay, I've got one more positive review. It's 5 stars on January 11th, 2008 from Lisa H.
Yeah. Lisa Himson.
Okay, I was going to say Hone. and she says the following thing. Wow. If only.
Yeah, right, Lisa?
I think she's saying, I picked her to make fun of her, but she's saying what I've been saying this whole thing, which is, if only someone would come and pick me up at work.
I wish someone would come pick me up at work. Yeah, you got it, Lisa.
Yeah, you got it, Lisa. Yeah, so fair enough. All right. We're going to move on to a segment within a segment that we like to call On the Fence Hand.
Yeah.
And it's where we...
Middling.
We talk about middling reviews. And this is a 4-star review from George F. Flooney.
Really phoning it in today.
Hey, you're the one who's... This is your role. You want to do better?
George F.?
Yeah.
What are the titles of all the kings and queens? Is there an F in there somewhere?
George Foreman is a famous boxer. And
heard
also,
of him. Yes, and Grillmaster.
Grillmaster. Okay, George Foreman gives this film 4 stars, December 1st, 2014. He says the following thing. Masha really likes it. She rates it 5.5.
Who?
Masha. Start over. Masha really likes it. Then we're going to learn
who's
more.
Masha?
I hate to disappoint you, but I'm just going to tell you now that we never find out.
I thought it was like I was supposed to know.
It does seem like it. He then says...
I guess that's what George wants me to think, too.
She rates it 5.5 out of 5. And then he is giving it a... what's the smiley face that's like... It's one of those sideways ones. It's a colon and then an O. So it looks like a pig nose. Oh, it could be a Tanner's done a face where it's like... If the O is the mouth, it's someone going, ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah. But I read it... For some reason, I read it as a pig's nose.
He thinks Masha's a pig. Oh, and that's why it's like a super intelligent pig.
Okay.
And it's like communicating through like a man proxy.
Okay, but he's only given it 4 stars.
Well, he's his own man.
Okay.
It's so, his account.
So
you know?
George Foreman logged into Rotten Tomatoes to say that the film deserves 4 stars, but his pig Masha thinks it should get 5.5 out of 5.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's still his account, so he's going to like...
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't want to like ruin his reputation.
Okay. All right. I think we've solved that mystery. Good. All right. That here ends the segment within a segment called On the Fence Hand. Now we've got a few pretty negative reviews in a segment within a segment that we like to call On the Other Hand.
Okay.
This one is from Michelle L., who gives the film 1 star.
Preposterous.
On May 21st, 2008.
Michelle M.
Who's that?
Was that the name of the woman who sang? No, it was Michelle Branch. Michelle Branch.
Okay, it's Michelle Branch. She says, is this a movie or a porno?
Yeah, tell me about it.
Because for the first half, I couldn't fucking tell. Sorry, Dad.
She said fucking?
Yeah. Sorry, Dad, but I have no faith in your movie recommendations anymore. And then she says, X3. And oh, that's a smiley face, too. It's like a guy who's died and he has a butt for a chin.
She thinks I'm her dad? Oh, shit.
Yeah, sorry, Dad, but I have no faith in... Yeah, you did recommend. You were the one who recommended this.
I can't deal with this right now.
Yeah, okay.
I have an adult daughter out there somewhere.
Yeah, called Michelle L.
Wow. Yeah,
and she's pissed. And she's got a potty mouth, but she doesn't like the gratuitous sex. Yeah. Okay, let's move on from that. I'm sorry. That was a little awkward. We've got two more. Maddie C. gives this film 0.5 stars on October 14th, 2010. He says the following thing. An officer and a gentleman. An orifice and a ginger man, more like. Then he says, there's ginger minge everywhere in this film. In fact, that's about all there is. Ginger fanny. Pure rat shit and dirty great thumbs down from me, folks.
Wow.
Maybe it would have helped if I'd read it in a Scottish accent. But
I think I got most of it.
Yeah.
I don't think there wasn't. Was there?
No, there wasn't. I think here's what I think happened. And I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. I think he was onto something. As someone who didn't like this film, which I disagree with, but as someone who didn't like this film, he was onto something with more like an orifice and a. And then we've done this before. He got
and he said
locked.
He got
locked into Ginger Man.
Ginger Man.
Because that's all he could think of. And then
there was a ginger complexed man in the movie.
Yeah. And then he felt like he needed to justify.
He almost dies in like one of the
Oh yeah,
tests.
Those are really
scared
intense.
The hell out of me. Yeah, ooh, I would not want to do that.
Yeah, and so he got locked into justifying it by saying that there's ginger minge everywhere in this film, which I'm sorry to have said that a bunch of times. It's a vulgar expression for female genitalia,
which I don't think there
and
was.
And there's
any.
Not. Yeah. So
he's DQ'd.
Yeah, you're sorry. You don't even get considered at the end.
And we want to workshop it, the bit?
Sure. Okay, let's pretend we don't like this film.
Orifice and...
So an officer and a gentleman, question mark. So the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 words of his review are perfect. An officer and a gentleman, an orifice and a... So good. And then he just like does not stick the landing.
Gentleman. Genital.
Genital. A gentleman. There it is. Yeah. We were so close. Yeah. An officer and a gentleman. An orifice and a gentleman, more like. That's great.
That rolls off the tongue.
That's so good. And then you don't have to say all that stuff about the ginger minge. And in fact, you know what? I would say end it there. No.
Yeah. We get it. You didn't like it.
An orifice and a gentleman, more like.
You don't have to then justify why you don't like it by making up a bunch of stuff about the movie.
And then you could say to somebody that they have committed conduct befitting an orifice and a gentleman. And it's a good burn you could use.
No, you say it after you've like completed the act of lovemaking.
Oh, yeah. I think that was conduct befitting an orifice and a gentleman. Perfect. See?
Yeah.
Maddie, I wish you had thought a little bit longer. You could have got there just like we did. I've got a final one-star review from the Lady of the Minnesota Mounts.
Okay. No guesses required.
No guesses required.
Full title has been heralded.
On February 19th, 2009, she gave this film one star, and she says, "My husband rents movies without really reading the given information. This movie is rated R for sex, crude language, death, fighting, etc. I felt this movie mostly consumed sex and military training. Would not watch a second or third time." So I think I want to say one thing. I want to connect these together. I'm pretty sure her husband is Michelle L's dad.
Oh, yeah. You think so?
Yeah.
This guy's telling everyone he
does. Yeah.
Except it sounds like he wasn't prepared for the movie coming in.
Yeah.
And but he loved it. And I think maybe that's what's keeping that door open to the second viewing.
Yeah. Well, that's like this is my quibble with Lady of the Minnesota Mounts. How are you going to watch it a third time if you won't watch it a second time, Lady of Minnesota Mounts?
I think she's winking at us a little bit. Maybe I'll watch for the Richard Gere parts.
He looks good. Arbiter Tanner, who do you...
Lisa, obviously.
Yeah, Lisa did a really great job. She said, wow, if only, and yeah, if only.
Yeah, only someone would come pick me up at work. Someone has come. It's the bubble.
Yeah. Oh, goodbye. Tanner, welcome home.
Welcome. I was on the same Rings of Saturn.
Yeah. We've got 10 minutes left, and then we have to go. So I guess we just quickly review this film. Let's do it fast. Because we've got a hard
I have
out.
One other thing I have to say.
Okay, quick.
Just before I go.
Yeah.
Entire film.
Yeah.
Start to end takes place in an alternate universe.
Okay, how do you know that?
One, hour 51 minute 11 second mark in like a truly like Street Fighter 2 turbo move.
Yeah.
Lou Gossett tells a fuming Richard Gere.
Yeah.
To meet him for a brawl in the blimp hangar.
You said you wanted to meet me in private? You got it. The blimp hangar. Now! Move it!
Hell yeah.
So this Naval Academy has a blimp hangar. Yeah. It's some kind of like weird alternate
steampunk
past where everyone's like flying around in blimps, I guess. I don't know.
That rules. God, yeah. I wish they'd lean into that a little bit harder.
Or just explore it a little bit. They have all these like sweeping shots of like the Puget Sound. It's like shots of blimps in the air. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's it.
That's
good. Now let's get to
Let's review this. You do it now because you review it on Amazon under your
right.
Babysitter's Club account with my name.
I have to go in 8 minutes.
Okay.
Quick. I just have to open the film and then get to the end, and then I'll be able to leave the review.
All right. Let's go. Quick. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Do we have to give it a title, right?
Yep.
I don't want to say the orifice and genital man thing in the title because that might get us flagged.
Yeah, no. How about one of the riffs from the movie? How about like we could say, "Wait till you local ladies get a look at this film, Scrotum Heads." Also, okay. Probably get us flagged. Huh?
That would probably get us flagged. Can we just directly steal this from Michael Peaton? Must see with a friend or by yourself.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Must see.
Yeah, with a friend with or a by friend. Yourself.
Okay.
Okay.
And our rating is what? 5 stars?
5 stars. We loved it. Can we give it 5.5?
5 stars. I'll say it in text.
Let's do a list. Let's really try to persuade people to watch this. And I have an idea.
If we could, we'd give it 5.5.
If we could, we'd give it 5.5. Don't believe us? ? Masha really like it.
M-A-S-H-A.
Yeah. Really likes
really
it.
Likes it.
And she's a pick.
And she's a pick. Yeah.
Who else likes it? Lisa H. really likes it. Who did we say that was?
Lisa Hempson.
Lisa Hempson really likes it. And she's a cartoon.
She's a cartoon. Yeah.
Who else really likes it?
And then you could say, weird. You know who else is from? You know who else is from Austin?
The Austin thing feels like kind of a non sequitur at this point.
Beto O'Rourke.
Do you know who else likes it?
You know who else likes it?
Should we just say Beto likes it?
Beto O'Rourke.
As far as we know. I don't want to get in trouble. And we like it.
Congressman Beto O'Rourke?
Sure.
But then I'll say, like, how about this? Congressman Beto O'Rourke.
Yeah.
And then I'll say in parentheses, no, not that one.
Okay, that's good.
And that kind of covers our bases.
That covers our bases. If Beto sues us, we'll be like, we said that we were talking about a different Beto. If either of them do.
Any of them do.
Yeah. Okay, good. And we really liked it, we'll say.
Yeah, we liked it.
And here's why.
We liked it too. Here's why. Colon.
Yeah. Well, okay, here's what we can do. Yes, there are many scenes in the film where an orifice meets a genital. But...
Can I say meets M-E-A-T-S?
I guess. That's fine. But
I'll do winky.
Unlike the Lady of the Minnesota Mounds.
Lady or ladies?
Lady.
And it's all capitalized?
It's title case.
A lot more questions than answers.
Yeah. Unlike the Lady
Minnesota Mounts.
Yeah.
Okay.
We felt that they were all tasteful scenes that added to the film.
Tasteful and added to the film. Okay.
Okay. Anything else? Help me.
Let's say
no spoilers, but...
Perfect. No spoilers.
But... We both wish that someone would come and pick us up at work. Literally.
Jack Shepard and friend.
Oh, we're done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Yeah. P.S. We love this one. See if you can throw scintillating in there.
Oh, yeah. We'll do it on the read back.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
So, title, must see with a friend or by yourself. 5 stars.
Yeah. It's great.
If we could, we'd give it 5.5 stars. Why? Oh, here, right. Don't believe us? Masha really likes it, and she's a pig.
Good.
Lisa Hempson loved it, and she's a cartoon.
Yep.
You know who likes it? Congressman Beto O'Rourke.
No,
not that one.
Good.
We liked it. Here's why. Yes, there are many scenes where an orifice meets a gentleman. Winky.
A gentleman.
Sorry, it says gentleman.
Okay.
Just breezed over it.
Yeah. Good.
Winky.
Yeah.
Unlike the Lady of the Minnesota Mounts, we felt they were all tasteful and added to the film.
Yeah.
No spoilers, but we wish someone would come pick us up at work. Literally.
P.S. They all added to the scintillating film.
Scintillating film. Yes.
Yeah. No spoilers, but we wish someone would come and pick us up at work. Literally.
Literally.
P.S. We love this one. Well, and
Jack Shepherd and Friend.
Shepherd and Friend. Yeah. Cut and print.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, great. That's it. That's all the time we have for today. Tanner has to go pick up his boy at school. He can't be late for that. So I will say to you, everybody, please subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/BSCC podcast. Join our Facebook group. It's the Facebook group. And rate and review the show. And this week, we watched a film. The film we watched was called An Officer and a Gentleman. And next week, I get to choose three films. Sarah has diligently been creating an incredible spreadsheet of movies.
I feel like I knocked this one out of the park, by the way.
Yeah, you did a great job. So I'm just going to pick three from that. And then you choose one. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to go kind of randomly. Gross Point Blank.
Okay,
A
film I love. You're gonna have to be top it.
I absolutely love that film too. Here's something a little different. Joe versus the Volcano.
Ooh.
And then my next one is, it would have to be a two-parter. Fever Pitch followed by Fever Pitch.
Let's get them done. Let's get them out of the way.
Okay.
We gotta get the two Fever Pitches.
We're
out
doing
of the way.
Both Fever Pitches. One first Colin Firth and then Jimmy Fallon, or the other way around.
In one episode.
Oh, in one episode? Okay. It's a one episode where we watch both Fever Pitches.
Yep.
Perfect. Looking forward to that. All that remains is for me to say that this week I have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Sergeant Belva Pepperoni Slices.
Oh, damn it. What was my name?
I don't remember.
My name is Cadet Alfie Baby P Tendrils. And my friend here, of course, is Cadet Hamnet Whole Head of Lamb.
Yeah.
And
two Brits, it sounds like.
I hope that you find your Carry Me Ever After.
Good.
We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure as crazy kids will work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Be very